Good morning. I'm Kyle. I'm with the guru, Chris Bellina, and you are listening to The Blitz, week two of the playoffs, week 15 of the NFL. Lots of stuff happened last week. Hopefully you listen because, you know, Chris and myself, Chris especially, you know, we told you there was going to be some rough matchups going on last week, and it came to fruition, honestly. Yeah. You know, there were some guys that got bumped out in the first round that had some great teams, got in to the playoffs, and were bumped out right away because the matchups just were not, they just didn't line up well. The stars didn't align for them right when playoff week one started.
So. And the weather created some, that was one of the craziest Sundays ever.
Yeah.
With games and last minute finishes and just kookiness all over. And then in the game in Philly, you would turn the game on, your TV was white.
Yeah.
Couldn't see anything. Which, you know, with Reggie Bush last minute, like literally 15 minutes before the game started, being benched or inactive, and you know, Joyke Bell, who we liked going into that game without even the injury, had a pretty productive day, minus two fumbles, and you know, it was really a really kooky week, and unfortunate for fantasy playoffs. You know, those who wrote, you know, Stafford and Calvin Johnson and Reggie Bush and Adrian Peterson to the playoffs, you know, got a lot of disappointment, and we called a lot of it.
Yeah.
Now it's the week you're in the money now. You're in your top four now, so now you've made it to the point where you're going to make money. And let me ask you this question. I ask you this every year, but is it more about winning money or the prestige of winning the championship? Meaning, I'm always of the belief that I don't care if once I get to the Super Bowl or whatever your league calls it, because I know I've made money for the year.
Uh-huh. I give you the same answer every time. I could care less because most of the leagues I'm in, the money isn't really that big.
Yeah, see, I'm in some leagues where, you know, you're talking about, you know, winning a championship and getting $600-$700, and then the loser gets $300-$400 for $100-something entry fee. And I mean, I look at it as it's an investment. You know, I'm looking for a return on my investment because, you know what, year to year with the turnover and redraft leagues, and nobody remembers or cares who won a championship. And, you know, I don't know. I always get in that debate with everybody, and it's probably a 50-50 between – who wants the prestige? Who wants the cash? I want the cash mode. But this week, you've made cash. You're going to make some money because you're probably going to get at worst fourth place in your league, depending on how you're set up. So listen to some of our advice. We're going to give you some, do things a little bit different this week, and hopefully get into that championship game.
Yeah, and I truly take this as a hobby. That's my thing, is it keeps me entertained for months and months and months. I don't have to stress out about it as much because it's just that. You know, a hobby, and I do get to rub it in once in a while. But I do, of course, it's a serious hobby.
Yeah, and I don't look at it as, I'm not looking at this to pay my mortgage.
Obviously not.
I'm looking at it as, you know, or, oh, my God, if I don't win money. But, you know, actually, you know, it's something where I look at it as, you know what, if it was just about prestige, why are we paying in any of these leagues?
I agree. I agree with that as well. If it was just that, we'd all be playing the Yahoo leagues, right?
Right, which are, you know, pretty bad.
Pretty awful is right.
Yeah.
So we're going to go down the line, as we always do, only this time, instead of breaking down every single player, we're just going to focus because we're down to the top four teams in the league.
You're not doing anything cute at this point. You're not going to sit anybody or mess with your starters at this point. These are the guys you're going to dance with who brung you at this point. We're not going to really enlighten anybody and give you a sit Drew Brees analogy to play, you know, Andy Dalton. But we're going to give you some advice here that I feel is going to help you, or at least give you a little bit of comfort going into your chance to make the championship game.
Exactly. And these are guys that are either going to perform higher or lower than what we think they're going to do. So, again, if there's a guy that you're kind of, I'm not sure, maybe I should put in Donald Brown instead of C.J. Spiller or something like that, we could say, I don't know, he may have a bad game or he may have a good game. So these are only for the owners who are wavering on players to maybe push you one way or the other,
yep.
I guess, is what we're going to do.
So let's do it.
Yeah, so we're looking at the Steelers. We're looking at the Bengals. In this game, anybody in there at all that you would say, all right, be concerned or be excited about?
Well, the one I'd be concerned about is Antonio Brown. I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to be under a lot of pressure this game. And he's the one receiver on Pittsburgh that you have to keep an eye on. Emmanuel Sanders hasn't stepped up, a lot of drops. Kotchery good on third downs, good on, you know, maybe a touchdown. But Antonio Brown's leading the league, I think, in receptions off of a humongous game. You know, a half an inch of stepping out of bounds from having a blow-up game. So I would say right now I would be concerned with Antonio Brown. I would be concerned with Le'Veon Bell. Cincinnati's hitting its stride on defense, and I really think Pittsburgh, it kind of got a lot of wind out of their sail last week. Another one who's been red hot that I've been concerned about is Ben Roethlisberger. Steelers offense, those are the players that I look for a drop in production this week. On the other side, I look for a nice spike from Marvin Jones. Back in the mix, I don't know if he was injuries or what, but he had another big game. I look for a drop in Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, but a spike with Giovanni Bernard. The reason I say that is quick back, explosive back. Steelers going to have a hard time defending him. And I don't look for much out of Andy Dalton in this game. So, you know, just to kind of recap, I would look at Marvin Jones as an upgrade. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is a downgrade. Giovanni Bernard is an upgrade. You know, arrow pointing up, you know, flat line for Andy Dalton, down for Roethlisberger, down for Bell, down for Brown.
Down for basically all the Steelers then.
I just think this is not a good matchup and not a good time for the Steelers.
Yeah, let's not go crazy.
The season's over for them, and they're going against a defense that goes after the quarterback. And with the offensive line woes, I'd watch what you have with the Steelers.
Now we're going Baltimore and Detroit. Is there anybody, again, same deal on Detroit? Detroit had a horrible week last week, so bounce back time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Ravens defense is, you know, not as good as years past. I look for this game to be a very explosive game on both sides of the ball.
So there's no surprise players at all,
yes,
on Detroit. Oh, there's a surprise.
Joik Bell.
Oh, okay.
Joik Bell. Whether he's playing, Bush is playing or not, I think Joik Bell is going to get his share of playing time. You know, Reggie Bush is nursing a knee injury, and Detroit's thinking long term. You're going to see a tick up in carries and receptions and goal line opportunities for Joik Bell. And hey, Reggie Bush, three carries into the game, could be pulled.
Yeah, so that's the guy, obviously, that you're expecting.
He's the
Joik
guy.
Joik Bell
for Detroit, and a guy I like, I would say get him in your lineup, is Dennis Pitta.
Yeah, he's coming back. Yeah,
he came back and had a humongous game week one coming back. So I really like what from him. I'm not impressed with Ray Rice. I'm not impressed with Bernard Pierce. But another guy I expect a good game out of. I expect a 300-yard game out of Joe Flacco.
Oh, okay. I can see
they're
that.
They're going to have to keep up with him. They're going to have to keep up, and they're not going to do it running.
I can totally see that, and you're right. And Flacco hasn't exactly lived up to the paycheck that he received. So he's had a bad year. Now, granted, he lost Bolden. That hurt. But they were expecting the guy that you're saying is going to have another great week this week, and that's Pitta, to step in and fill that role. Well, he got hurt right away.
Yep. So they lost them both.
Yeah, lost them both. And so that changed the whole dynamic of that team. Pitta's back. Pitta's going to be targeted a ton, you think, just like he was last week.
Yep.
I agree wholeheartedly. Atlanta, one of the biggest disappointments this year, obviously, in the entire NFL. I mean, they just fell apart. I mean, I hope their coach actually preserves his job, because that was just a series of unfortunate events that occurred down there with injuries. Going against the Redskins, who they're talking about may not even be the starting quarterback, is RG3 next year. It's just insane to me.
Right. I think it's an exhibition for Kirk Cousins, for other NFL teams, or potentially to be the guy for the Redskins. As of right now, I'm staying away from any Redskin.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no tick up. They're all ticked down. Arrow pointing down on all of them. How many people were RG3 owners in the playoffs, you know, saying, oh, no, who's my backup at this point? And we weren't high on him anyway going into the year. I said the arrow is pointing up for Steven Jackson, especially against this defense.
Expect better than usual numbers from him then.
I could see a 100-yard game and a touchdown.
I could see it as well, yeah.
And I see, you know, nice year-end production out of Roddy White.
Yay, Roddy White's back.
Well, here's what happens. Here's where you have to be smart as a fantasy owner. These are the games, for those of you who are not in the playoffs or in the playoffs, you have to remember and look at what players are doing at the end of the year who didn't have a good year that are having a good end of a year.
Absolutely.
That's how I got on the Marvin Jones bandwagon last year. I saw what he was doing at the end of the year, remembered him, and made sure I had him on all my teams. So keep an eye on players like that. I mean, Michael Floyd was another one. Reuben Randle was another one. They had really big – Joique Bell was another one.
Absolutely.
They had really big ends of the year, which coaches noticed that too, which means there's a real good chance you're going to get a lot more playing time or some of their competition could be let go because they've stepped in. So keep an eye on it. And Roddy White's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, also young players, too. A lot of young receivers who've taken all season to learn the playbook and actually get the game to slow down for them. Now they start to figure out, and they're like, hey, this isn't I can do this. I can play in this league. Somebody like, I think, Justin down in Tennessee.
Yep. You know, look for a guy like that. And, again, the Roddy White, he's a brand name, but his draft status is going to slip significantly. So you could get somebody who's a pretty good. He's a 1A wide receiver when healthy.
Absolutely.
Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth round next year. So
he burned a lot of people this year who are all going to swear off of him next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Wrongly.
Same thing with Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. But you know, for this game, for this sake, tick up for Steven Jackson and a tick up for Roddy White for this game.
And that's it. Yeah, you don't expect anything from anybody else from Washington at all. Not surprising. Without RG3 doing anything, there isn't going to be much from anybody else going on. Cleveland is going against Chicago. Now, again, Alshon Jeffrey is just ridiculously Velcro hands. So who's stepping up and who's stepping down?
I got to tell you this right now. Two of the hottest wide receivers in the league are squaring off in this game.
Yeah. Again, they had a monster game against each other just a few weeks ago.
I actually was going in my one league, my redraft league, going against Josh Gordon and Jeffrey.
Yeah.
That was two of his three wide receivers.
I take it didn't go that well for you that week.
I won. No, I won.
Oh, you
I won.
Did. Must have been his only two
winning.
Guys he had.
Wound up winning. Well, he had Stafford. So, but that being said, Josh Gordon is going to tick down in this game because he just can't possibly keep doing what he's doing.
Wow.
You know, when I say tick down, 120 yards and a touchdown.
All the way down to 120
yards. All the
way
down to 120. He's a must start. This guy's unbelievable.
Yeah.
He's the only – I mean, Cameron Jordan back in the end zone, I think, last week. I would stay away from him. But Josh Gordon ticked down, and I do it with a big giant asterisk next to it because he just can't keep doing it the way he's doing it.
Right. You know what I like about him, though, is his – he doesn't seem to be – you know, extremely cocky, arrogant when he's on the field.
Well, he came into the league. What he kicked out of college football?
Yeah, he bounced what around.
What was his problem?
Attitude and drugs. That was his thing.
He's obviously got his life straight now.
He still likes his drugs, though. That's the problem. He's got.
Oh, that's right. He had the suspension early in the year.
Yeah, he's one strike away from being a year long suspension. But when he plays the game and when he's on the field, you don't see any showboating. You don't see a prima donna who's afraid to go across the middle and make catches. He goes up, he gets catches, and he acts like he's done it 1,000 times. So he just moves on from there, and that's it. So
I love what I've seen. I tell you right now, Alshon Jeffrey. The catches this guy makes, he's a highlight reel. I think, he came off a pedestrian game for him, 80 yards and a touchdown. Look for big numbers out of him this week. Look for big numbers out of Brandon Marshall this week. And Jay Cutler coming back, or whether it's going to be McCown. I say if it's Cutler, I may want to put an asterisk next to that, too. If it's McCown, I would say arrows up. With Cutler, I don't know how he's going to be when he comes back. They're going to be out of rhythm. Arrow would be down. So keep an eye on who's going to be the quarterback for Chicago. And you're going to get the same expected production out of Forte and Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, those guys. It's just more of the usual from them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Colts, they're going against Houston. And so I feel bad a little bit for Houston. They had a micro window to do something with their franchise against their nemesis, the Colts, and that window's already gone.
Well, here's my all-time ultimate arrow pointing up player for this game. It's going to be Trent Richardson.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
I just don't know how you can say that. I really don't.
Here's my logic. For those of you who have sat on him and struggled with him all year, like myself, here's an opportunity to put him in your lineup. couple reasons. They will be blowing out the Texans.
Hmm.
New coach, nothing to play for. They've kind of packed it in. Poorest run defense. I think that this is an opportunity for the Colts to get Trent Richardson going so he could be that hot running back late in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Get him up to speed. You know, get that 14-point lead and let him run the clock out. Now, when I say arrow pointing up, you're not going to get 120 yards and two touchdowns. But you could get 80 yards and a touchdown.
Hmm.
And he's catching the ball out of the backfield a lot more than Donald Brown. And even last week, he got more touches than Donald Brown, even though Donald Brown was the anointed starter. That's my reasoning.
Yeah, this game, actually, you're right. This game could be technically over by halftime, and then they're just going to finish.
And they're going to want to just get this. Because here's the thing. For the Colts to get to the Super Bowl, they're going to have to go through New England or Denver. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to be able to power run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And until they get Trent Richardson's legs going, they're not going to the Super Bowl without him running the ball. And if they get to the Super Bowl, it's in New York.
Do you think it's all mental with him?
I think...
because he's got the physical tools.
I read an article basically saying that it's nothing physical. He's tentative because he doesn't know the blocking schemes. He doesn't know where he needs to be. So he's not just getting the ball and running like he would normally do. I mean, you could just watch this guy, you know, just tiptoes through the line. In the NFL, he can't do that.
I honestly don't get that because when he was in Cleveland, that was definitely not the
way
he
ran the
ball.
To go. And that's what they're saying. It's not physical. It's not that he's not smart. It's a complex scheme that he came into three games of the season. And
he hasn't figured it out by now. I'm going to go with he's not smart.
Well, think about it. The problem also is, you know, four or five of the last games, they've been blown out in the beginning, and they've abandoned the running game. So he was only in there in passing downs. So, and you know, I just think was in a bad spot. I'll tell you right now, he's another one for next year.
He has been there for how many weeks, though?
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, but you miss it. Training OTAs and training camp. You know, I mean, I just think they have a lot invested in him. It's a game they're going to win. Now, they don't care if they win by a point or 30 points. This is a game they can tinker with that running game and get Trent Richardson going. And I think this is the game where he gets 10 to 15 points on the ground. So that's my one guy of both sides that the arrow's pointing up. And with that arrow pointing up, Donald Brown, arrow pointing down.
Wow. Okay, well, the
statement from the guru, that's what I'm all about.
That's okay, though. You know what? Logic. You have logic behind what you're saying.
Well,
makes me feel better, actually. Well,
let me ask you this. Trent Richardson or Joik Bell, who would you play?
Joik Bell.
Okay. Trent Richardson or Chris Ivory going against Carolina?
I'm not taking Trent Richardson against anybody, I don't think.
Really?
He hasn't shown me anything. Even though you had very sound logic, I'm not going to deny that. I just can't do it. Can't
play
do
over
it.
Spiller?
No. Because even when Spiller has four carries, one of them might be for 65 yards, so...
About Todman? Jordan Todman?
No, yes, I'd play him over Todman. I would do that.
Well, because he may be playing parlay or leads into our next game.
Yeah, Jacksonville and the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
A tick up then, huh?
There's a definite tick up for Trent Richardson. Here's a tick up in this league, in this game, Stevie Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And here's another guy for all you people that keep notes for next year in your little book. Marquise Goodwin for next year. He's going to be one of those guys. You watch him the next two. He's a little banged up, but I think he's better than Robert Woods, and I think he's an opportunity for you to get him mid-round next year, or if you're in a keeper or dynasty league, trade for Marquise Goodwin.
Yeah, Robert Woods was one of those guys who in training camp and everything, he was the talk of the camp, you know, and he was great, and he has just, you know, I haven't heard from him in about 8 weeks.
Well, here's why. Quarterback fluctuation in Buffalo, and Marquise Goodwin's claim to fame is going deep, which means all he needed to know how to do is run straight, and the quarterback, all he had to do was throw it up and he'll catch it, where Robert Woods isn't that type of wide receiver. He's more route running and more precision, that's why he struggled. The quarterbacks aren't there to hit him in stride and know when he's going to make his break to catch the ball, so that's going to hurt a rookie wide receiver. Where Marquise Goodwin, all he has to do is run down the field.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there's a difference with
so
why
Woods goes to a more established system, he would flourish a little bit better. But since,
think Keenan Allen.
Yes, there you go.
Okay. So with this game, I see the arrow pointing up for Stevie Johnson. I like Stevie Johnson. He's kept his mouth shut this year. He's
been
hurt, you know, and he's been pretty good for considering, again, the fluctuation and all the inconsistencies of a quarterback. As far as Jacksonville, I can't really look to play anybody. I mean, if Maurice Jones-Drew is playing, arrow's pointing up for him. He's starting because Buffalo's defense is pretty bad against the run. If Jordan Todman's the starter and you have him on your bench and you're desperate for a running back, arrow's pointing up for him. But you got to see how that plays out before you decide to play either one. Either way, it's a good matchup against Buffalo. I'd be comfortable as a flex player or number three running back playing one of the Jacksonville running backs against Buffalo.
Yeah, the Patriots, man, they have had themselves some, I guess, cakewalk as far as the NFL is concerned. I mean, they almost blew it against the Browns. That was unbearable for the Browns. I mean, I had Browns fans here that are on Facebook. I mean, that just went missing for a while. They didn't even want to. They didn't want to show their faces. They didn't want to talk to anybody after that game last week. They were done. And now they're going up against Miami. Miami is, of course, just unbelievably, you know, in chaos. They can't they can't find themselves in any kind of order at all. So it's almost like they're handing a playoff berth to the Patriots at this point.
Well, right. And, you know, I'll tell you, that hit on Gronkowski was awful.
Mm.
Hey, did you ever watch the
I did. It wasn't as bad for me as it was for you, but that's probably because I knew what was
live.
Coming. Yeah, and I saw
it. I knew it was coming, too.
I knew it was coming. I saw the speed in full speed.
And you know he's okay.
And I know he's okay. So,
you know, because it's 4 days later.
Yeah, when but I saw it, I mean, and then I saw the slow motion like you did and said, oh, it wasn't as bad. Yeah, in slow motion, it just kind of hit his – when it hit his helmet, it hit it just right to kind of just twist it right off his head.
And then he hits his head on the ground, frozen ground. So, anyway, but – Gronkowski's, which hurts me because he was my tight end in one of the league I'm still going in.
Yeah, another thing that probably knocked a lot of people out last week.
Gronkowski, 3 points. And I'll tell you, they didn't really get started for a while. Went through almost three quarters of that game with zeros from him, and I have the kicker.
Mm.
And Brady wasn't doing much either. But as far as this game, you know, I think everyone's going to be status quo on the Patriots side. I wouldn't play any of the Patriots tight ends. You know, there's no next man up.
Yeah, nobody's going to step up, exactly.
You know, and, you know, you're going to get, if anything, you know, look for some major production. Actually, arrow pointing up for Shane Vereen, because a lot of those over-the-middle things and passes that were going to go to Gronkowski are going to go to Shane Vereen. What do you have, 12 or 15 catches last week?
No, it's insane. You're right. You're right. He's going to step it up because they don't have – they're running out of weapons there.
Dobson's hurt.
I don't want to say they're running out of weapons. They have weapons. They have Tom Brady, which is weapon
number one. So,
I mean, they went from this amazing two tight end set, though, that was unstoppable, to now they have no tight ends.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, if they could get somebody – if Dobson was healthy, because he can get the ball down, he can get down the field, and it's really a shame – because he was starting to hit his stride and he hurt his foot. So, and as far as Miami, you know, I'm just thinking about it. I mean, I think the guy I like in Miami and the arrow pointing up is Charles Clay.
Yeah,
so if he was your backup tight end to Gronkowski.
Well, what did you say last week? I said, well, what about Keller when Keller comes back? He said, they're cutting him.
Yeah, he's gone. Charles Clay's a beast.
He is. He really is.
I mean, he's just a big, strong guy. I mean, out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah, somebody picked him up on waiver wires and is loving life right now.
Oh, my God, yeah. So he's, again, so yeah, that's really it. Not much fantasy, you know, you're going to see a 20-10 game here. Look for a lot of kicking to go on in this game.
A lot of kicking. Minnesota going against the Eagles. LeSean McCoy breaks a franchise record in the blizzard for some reason. That's the game that nobody can seem to stop. Apparently, he was the only one on ice skates. Everybody else was stuck. And then this has got to be a game with Peterson going down, right?
Yeah. Arrow pointing up for Toby Gerhart. I'd play him.
Really?
I'd play him. Eagles aren't very good against the run in any type of weather. I mean, it's in Minnesota, so they don't have to worry about weather this game. And another guy to make a little check mark on your little book for next year is Cordell Patterson.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Again, that goes back to that rookie guy who took a while to get going, and now he's second half.
So I would say arrow is pointing for Toby Gerhardt. He's a little banged up, but he's going to get the start. I like the way he runs. I think he's going to get some prodding and some plowing through the Eagles' defense. And you can see 70, 80 yards, couple touchdowns. I think they'll score against the Eagles. So you get a 12 to 14 point game out of him, which is nice. You know, if you handcuffed Peterson and don't have another option.
I mean, they're going to try and bring him back this week, next week, Peterson. I mean, what
no,
is
he's
gonna,
out. He's
is
out.
He done? Done? I mean, they're not going to waste him, are they? I mean, that would just be crazy. But I don't know. I mean, they're sitting there talking about bringing back Aaron Rodgers. Why?
Well, because they're still in the playoff hunt. They're only half a game out.
Yeah.
And they got a pretty easy schedule. They got Pittsburgh. They got some other. Nobody really good. They're playing. The only reason players they're not playing well is a quarterback, and as you put in Aaron Rodgers, you could make a run.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't be in a hurry. That's all I gotta say, Green Bay. Don't ruin everything forever, because you want to get into the playoffs and probably get smashed in the first round anyway.
Well, let's also remember too, it's his non-throwing collarbone, which means it's not like his knee where he's gonna blow it out. He's gonna need an entire off season of rehab, basically. He'll need a month of rest if he broke it, re-injured it.
He's got to tolerate the pain, you think? That's all he's got to do?
Let me tell you, I had a shoulder injury, obviously not to that extent, and it was one of the most painful things I've ever experienced. You can't sleep, you can't sit, you can't type, you can't do anything until you get the therapy. That's all you really can do is just get the therapy on it. It's just a matter of pain. So it's not like it's his knee or it's concussions or it's throwing arm or shoulder. It really doesn't do anything where it will ruin his offseason. He's going to come into next year behind the eight ball. So you could take the risk, really. It's not going to be career threatening if he gets re-injured.
What about on the Eagles? Is there somebody over there, Nick Foles or Riley Cooper?
I love Nick Foles in
Nick
this
game. Foles this game, okay.
Love it. Top five quarterback this week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was good in the snow.
Yeah. He's good in everything at this point in time.
He's
going to be the quarterback for 1,000 years, I hear.
Yeah, exactly. So. And there's a guru out there who said he's going to be the second best quarterback in the draft class. I'm going to say it every time we talk about Nick Foles.
You should.
Because nobody. I was like,
nobody. I didn't think so either.
Guy's good.
No, you called it before I actually saw him play, and then I saw him play, and I was like, ugh, man, he looks pretty dang good.
Yeah, guru
he does
smart.
Look good.
There's a reason why I'm the guru.
That's right.
I would say everyone else, you're going to look for standard production.
Standard production. Gotcha.
Definite tick up from Nick Foles, which means you'll see a little bit more out of Riley Cooper, a little bit more out of Deshaun Jackson. But, I could see 3 touchdowns, well over 250 yards for Nick Foles.
Giants, Seattle. These are guys that, to me, I'm going to say Seattle, you're going to say status quo. I'm just guessing there because it's pretty much what you've called all year long. Don't worry about anybody except for Marshawn Lynch having a good game.
I'm going to change it a little bit. Golden Tate.
A little bit better game this week.
Well, the Giants have another team that's going to be packing it in.
Yeah.
Season's over. Seahawks are going to want to give it all they have. So I would actually say I'm going to come off the Marshawn Lynch. Expect 100 yards, 2 touchdown type game.
Yeah.
20 point type game. But I can see a nice productive game out of Golden Tate as a nice flexer, number 4 wide receiver, low end number 3. Giants side. I'll be honest with you. All of them have been disappointing. Every last one of them.
So if anybody does anything, it's exciting.
Yeah, I don't see anything. I don't see anybody. There's guys
How
there.
How about Brandon Myers, the tight end there?
I'm not playing anybody.
Not
the
excited.
I have
okay.
to. Yeah, nothing. I mean, Andre Brown maybe. Because, St. Louis, or keep saying St. Louis. Seattle is not that great stopping to run. So I would say Andre Brown will be productive. I'm not saying arrow up, arrow down. He's he gets 70 yards, maybe a score. Could hit that, combined 100 total yards. But it'd be real risky playing any Giants against Seattle.
Yeah, but at least Seattle has to go all the way to New York, though, too. So that's a bit of a – maybe they'll be a little tired.
And yeah, exactly.
So maybe Andre Brown will do a little bit better against them.
Yeah, maybe.
San Francisco – Tampa. Tampa at one point was fighting for the number one pick. They probably still could get it. Going against San Francisco, so this is going to be – this could be bad, right? Everybody going to probably do what they think. Is there anybody at all going to stand out or fall down?
No, nobody on Tampa that's going to exceed expectations. You'll get production out of Vincent Jackson. You're not going to play Mike Glennon, obviously, in this time of the year. But Vincent Jackson, if you drafted him as your number 1 or 2, you play him. I know he's a little banged up. This is a game where I could see Michael Crabtree getting healthy, but you're not going to play him in the playoffs. You're not going to play Bolden in the playoffs. You're not going to play any of these guys in the playoffs. And I think this is going to be a game where you're going to see, you know, Frank Gore have a really big game. So I like the arrow pointing up for Frank Gore.
Yeah, yeah. And I like Kaepernick, too. Because this is I mean, he hasn't had the year he had last year. So I'm sure there are some owners out there that are sitting there going, well, I don't know, Kaepernick. But hell, these guys might not even have made the playoffs if we have Kaepernick as their quarterback because he was that bad this year.
Yeah, well, exactly. Most people who's riding Kaepernick, either have a really solid, you know, quarterback or running back and receiver core or out of the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, I could see him, but the only thing that concerns me about this game is a letdown possibility.
Oh, because it's Tampa?
Because it was Tampa off of playing Seattle.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, playing Seattle and then going against Tampa and going, eh, we got this one in the bag. No problem, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Panthers going against the Jets. The Panthers. I don't understand. This NFL, this is why you can't bet on the NFL.
Well, exactly.
Honestly, because the Saints get murdered by Seattle, who then go into Carolina's amazing defense and just act like Carolina doesn't even have. I don't understand what's going on there. I mean, based on those two games alone, you should never bet the NFL. And the Patriots almost losing to the Browns. That's
exactly. Like, you can't bet on the NFL. It's just so unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Arrow pointing up for D'Angelo Williams.
Really?
Well, Jonathan Stewart's out. So with a knee injury, so he'll get more carries. Tolbert's going to still be the goal line guy, but what you got to hope is D'Angelo Williams breaks one. So if you're struggling for a running back, if you have Adrian Peterson, if you have Reggie Bush and are uncomfortable playing him, especially since it's a Monday night, you don't want to find out on a Monday night that your guy's out. D'Angelo Williams could be a good play. Arrow pointing down on a lot of these guys because the Jets do have a good defense. So I'm pointing the arrow down on Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pointing the arrow down on Greg Olsen. Pointing the arrow down on Chris Ivory.
Yeah, this could be a shutout, honestly.
Yeah, this could be a real, I mean, you know, the thing is, you know, this is the kind of game, though, again, you look at it and you're like, you know, Carolina's defense is great against the rush. You know, they're really good. And then Chris Ivory runs for 140 yards and two touchdowns.
Exactly. That's why you can't bet on the NFL. Exactly.
Well, right. You know,
because you look at it on paper, this could be a shutout. They'll probably get 39 points.
Yeah, but if you're desperate for a running back, I would say, you know, if you had to, Bilal Powell could be a good play because they're going to be behind, which means it takes Chris Ivory out of the game. And I'm actually playing Trenton Richardson over Chris Ivory in my league because of this matchup.
This matchup is brutal.
I can see they could be behind early, and then they're going to start throwing the ball, and he's their guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield. So in a points per reception league, Bilal Powell could have some value in this game. So I'll put the arrow pointing up for him as a really desperate flex player, or if you go three running backs and have to play three running backs. You know, maybe Bilal Powell, but other than that, if you could stay away from anybody in this, I would.
Yeah, you would talk about a shutout this next game, Kansas City against Oakland. How is Oakland going to score against Kansas City at all?
Kansas City's just going to bury him.
Oh.
Kansas City is this in Oakland?
This is in Oakland, so it's going to get there might be cars turned over in the parking lot after this game.
Yeah, I'm not playing anybody in Oakland this game, and I'll tell you, guy whose arrow is going to start pointing up is Dwayne Bowe.
Really? Okay.
I think we're going to start seeing Dwayne Bowe. He got a productive game, got a touchdown, some big catches. Again, you're blowing out the Redskins. But, you know, Jamaal Charles is probably one of the top five running backs in the league. Their defense has been unbelievable. So I would say absolutely Dwayne Bowe.
Alex Smith then in return, I assume.
I would say I like Alex Smith in this game. Again, I'm not starting him. If you're in these last four games, you have one of the top 10 quarterbacks. I doubt he's going to be a play. But if you have to play Alex Smith, do it comfortably because I think he's going to have one of his better games.
Yeah, don't be too scared. I would think either. I agree with you because it's the Raiders.
The play of the week is the Chiefs defense. If you do defensive special teams.
I agree. It's either them or Carolina. That's why I think one of those two is going to have some bad news, I think. Dallas going against Green Bay. Dallas is, like you said many times before, Romo is a fantasy machine. Just keeps putting it up there.
But he's been sluggish the last – I mean, he got, what, three touchdowns this last week? but he only had 100 and something yards. So the offense is kind of, I think, in fantasy disarray because, you know, just DeMarco Murray, he was, you know, they didn't have to do anything but hand the ball off Monday night.
Yeah.
And he got away from it for whatever reason. I mean, he was he was averaging 10 yards a carry. You know what that means? When you give him a ball on first down,
yeah.
When he hands it back to you in the huddle, it's first down again. You know what I mean? And that's what was going on, but they couldn't stop him. And then they got into cute and throwing the ball. And
they overthought it, exactly.
And then, it really got them out of their rhythm.
Sometimes I see coaches do that. Sometimes I see them where they overthink it and they just move away from a certain thing. And the next thing you know, it's like, why did you stop running the ball? He was killing, like you said. They were killing. Now you look back and it's like, we just went an entire quarter and you didn't even hand it to him one time. What happened? Why did you do that? Now you've let the other team get right back in the game. It's ridiculous.
And then blow right past you. Now you can't use the running game. There's no
yeah.
You can't even use play action.
It's like these offensive coordinators sometimes need somebody sitting right next to them to tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, you know you haven't handed the ball off to DeMarco Murray in, the last 27 plays?
Well, right. And I think this is going to be a rebound game for Tony Romo. This is going to be, I think, whether it's Flynn or Rodgers, a slug, it's going to be a shootout in Dallas. Nice weather, indoors, sort of. You're going to see major production out of Tony. This is a 303-touchdown game for Tony Romo. Which means the arrow's going to point up for Jason Witten, who's been silent this year. He hasn't been that great this year.
Nah, okay.
You know?
Well, Dez Bryant's emergence has really quieted him.
Correct. Who's also hasn't been that great the last few weeks.
Right, last couple weeks, yep.
Arrow pointing up for Dez Bryant. Of course you're playing this week. Eddie Lacy's banged up. They better get him healthy because this is a really good matchup for him. So I like the arrow pointing up for him. I like the arrow pointing up for Jordy Nelson. I even like Matt Flynn in this game if you're desperate. But other than that, you're going to stay away from a lot of the Packers because it's Matt Flynn. Although Dallas' defense is probably one of the worst in history. So a lot of these guys could be productive. So I'd be comfortable playing Packers. But, if you have a better, more solid option because, still is Matt Flynn. But Eddie Lacy could have a humongous game, top five running back game. If he's healthy and he's playing.
We were talking earlier that the Patriots seem to be sliding right into the playoffs because of their simple schedule, going against the lowest of the lows. But it looks like the Saints are on the opposite end where they're playing guys that have some pretty stellar defenses here with Carolina and Seattle. And now they're going against the St. Louis Rams. And the Rams, they don't have an offense. They only have a defense. That's the only way they win games. So, they don't win a lot of games, but that's how they win at least.
Well, that's going to be the problem is this is a game that's going to get ugly quick. Although their defense is there, they don't have enough offense. You can't exchange field goals with touchdowns.
Right.
It's indoors. It's, Rams really don't have anything to play for. The Saints do. There was an emergence of Marquise Colston, a surprising Marquise Colston sighting. I mean, I say that because they were going against a really good defense. So, that being said, I would say the arrow's pointing down on every single Ram, to include Zach Stacy, who had a nice series of games but hasn't really captured that recently. So I'd be leery of playing Zach Stacy. Saints are the Saints. I'm staying away from the running backs, and I'm playing Marquise Colston. I'm playing Jimmy Graham, and, of course, Drew Brees. Drew Brees, this is a 354-touchdown game for him.
How much, I'm sorry? 300 and what?
This is a 350-yard, three-touchdown game.
I thought you said four touchdowns. I was like, gosh, that's a heck of a prediction there.
Because I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball against the Rams. So they're going to score in the 30s. It's going to be throwing.
Oh, I could see that.
So it could be four touchdowns. That wouldn't shock me.
So play usual suspects then, obviously.
Yeah, you're going to play.
No surprise from, Darren Sproles running and catching 12 passes.
He's been a major disappointment, so I'm not risking that play.
I really wanted to play him this week with confidence. Now I got to play him without confidence. Thanks.
Yeah,
I don't have any other choice. I'm in the playoffs. I got to do it.
If you got to play him, he's a Saint. So
I have to
play him.
Yeah, I have to because the time I don't is the time he does catch 10 passes.
He's been a major disappointment this year. He went pretty high in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You know, so.
Yeah, luckily I was able to recover with some other players. To be where I'm at. But, yes, it was ridiculous that he is as bad as he is. Now, Titans, Arizona. You know, Arizona, they have 8 wins this year.
Yeah.
They're the quietest 8-win team.
Well, you were big on Carson Palmer.
I was, and he is not.
And he started off a little slow.
Yeah.
But, Michael Floyd's picked it up. Fitzgerald's gotten healthy. Andre Ellington gives them a dimension.
Yeah, they got some running game going down there now.
Yeah, so their offensive line's good. And they have a good defense, which when you have a good defense, you got to look at that when you look at some players on offense because you get the ball in good field position.
So you're saying Carson Palmer. Tick up. Carson Palmer?
Yeah.
He's a tick up this week?
He's a tick up.
Better than expected?
Tennessee. He's going to be better than expected. I like Andre Ellington better than expected. Same type production out of Floyd and Fitzgerald.
Right.
I'm not saying that it's going to be a tick up or whatever. On the other side, tick up for Justin Hunter.
Yeah, that's
another one to keep an eye on for next year. I'm not saying get him in your lineup, but he's a guy who could put up 100 yards in this game in garbage time.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be behind. I mean, Fitzpatrick, he's a turnover machine. I really like the Cardinals' defense in this game because of Fitzpatrick's propensity to turn the ball over at the most inopportune times.
Yeah, he has just decided that in his career, I don't give a crap anymore. I'm just throwing the ball like crazy. Yeah, I'm not going to be a starter. I'm not going to be a major superstar in the NFL. So when I get the ball, I'm just going to be throwing it all the time, whether somebody's covered or not.
I agree. that's it. And why not? You know, I mean, Chris Johnson, I would say I would be ticked down for him going against a good defense. He hasn't really done much this year, of course. No other receiver worth playing. Delaney Walker's hurt. But I like the arrow pointing up for Justin Hunter in this game.
Cool. Well, we did it a little bit different this week. You know,
we
didn't cover every single player like we normally do, but instead we tried to focus on just getting all the games with all the surprises, up and down players. So you liked it a little bit better this way? Yeah, late in the season, mix it up a little bit.
This is hopefully helping people who are on the fence with their marginal players. You're going to play Calvin Johnson, whether we say it, he's going to have a tick up or down regardless.
Of course.
You're going to play DeSean Jackson, whether he has a tick up or tick down. It's the cusp players that we're hoping to give you some guidance on.
Right. Exactly. Somebody like, I don't know, Trent Richardson, you said?
Yeah. Let's see. We are going to lead in next week with Trent Richardson.
We have to. We have to. We have to say, well, we totally missed on that one, didn't we? or we're gonna break you are gonna break yourself, patting yourself on the back.
Oh my
God, break your arm.
I'm gonna have my shoulder physical therapy again.
Exactly. You know what, guys? Week 15, we're at the finish line. Just
a
couple
good
more
luck,
weeks. Yeah, a couple more weeks left. This one more, and that's the end of the season for most everybody.
Yep, and we'll do some recap stuff at the end of the year, of course.
Absolutely.
And periodic stuff through the off seasons to kind of, keep fantasy football in everybody's mind.
That's right. Don't give up on us in the off season for sure, because we'll be here checking in from time to time, making sure there's any, because there isn't anything. Like you said, we're not going to be crazy about it, but we'll be here. So for Chris Bellina, the guru, I am Kyle Omler, and you have been listening to The Blitz.
Good luck, guys.